Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today for our lesson that has to do with our health and our sleep. And we have with us
Linda
and Simon
and Doris. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're back with us, and I hope you woke up in time, and I'm glad that Simon and Linda did. Thanks for being with us today.
That's my pleasure.
It's good to be here.
Did you have a good sleep last night?
I did. It was a wonderful sleep.
What about you?
Yes, I did. It was
great.
You
didn't have any problems?
I didn't have any problems.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because sometimes you do, and that's what we're going to talk about, because 70 million Americans and other people all over the world are having some problems. You don't have them all the time. And what did we find out are some of the main problems that keep people awake at night?
The overwords.
The overwords. Overworked. Over what?
Oh, we talked about people who are over-caffeinated, that is, people who have had too much caffeine, and people who are over-medicated, so they've had too much medicine.
Or too many computer games, right?
Right. Over-wired. They're overwired, or they're overworked, or they're overloaded schedules.
And, of course, some of this is caused by the pressures that we get in today's world.
Right, the societal pressures, and those are very subtle.
And we found out that some of the biggest accidents that have gone on all around the world were caused by people not having had enough sleep.
Yeah, that was pretty...
It's very serious.
Kind of shocking, yes.
Maybe it was.
But the biggest problem is car crashes. And mm-hmm. and they have a period at the end of that to emphasize that, that is the biggest problem with sleep deprivation.
And yesterday on page 10, at the very last paragraph, we didn't have too much time to talk about it, but it says that now there are more sleep centers. It says they've risen in the past few years.
Yeah, that's amazing. Has risen by 630% in the last 15 years. So you can see, I think we all can agree that society has changed a lot, mm-hmm. not even in the last 15 years in particular. And it says that the sleep study results have been all over the map. This is a great phrase, isn't it, Simon?
Yeah, it is. All over the map means very different. So they're not all agreeing on one thing. Instead, they're scattered, the results. And the point of that was that the research on sleep problems is going on now. So researchers know more than they ever have before, but they still don't know everything about sleep problems.
Yes. So this is a phrase that we should remember is, you know, if somebody's giving a research report and they have something from here that doesn't agree from something over there, we say, oh, all the results are all over the map. Means there's nothing, you know, concrete that you can really, you know, put your finger on.
So it's been a little difficult. It's kind of an advanced lesson because there's some really big words and big ideas in here. But the main idea is that we might need more sleep than we're getting. And this is what we're going to find out a little bit more. So we're going to find the lowdown. What does this really mean to us? What does it mean to you? What is the lowdown on this? That's what we're going to read about now on page 11.
The lowdown. Insomnia victims have trouble falling or staying asleep in a setting with adequate conditions for sleep. This becomes chronic insomnia if it lasts more than 3 weeks. Sleep deprivation is caused by behavioral or situational factors that curtail or mitigate the ability to get enough sleep time. Most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. The amount a person needs is genetically determined, Malwald said. Anyone who uses an alarm clock is, by definition, sleep-deprived because if the brain had received the amount of sleep it wanted, you would have woken up before the alarm went off.
So we're looking at the lowdown here. Simon, you had a good explanation for lowdown.
Well, the lowdown just means inside information or the real story about what is going on. And they start off this real story by using this term insomnia, which I always thought just meant people who don't get enough sleep. But I wasn't quite right about that.
Right. We use it here. It's insomnia victims. Okay. So insomnia is a noun. Here it's being used as an adjective. And it even describes it. Have trouble falling or staying asleep in a setting with adequate conditions for sleep. So that means that if you just can't sleep, there's some underlying other reason than the over reasons. You know, you cannot sleep. It doesn't mean getting to sleep. It means you can't stay asleep either. You know, you go to sleep.
Sometimes people could say that I often have insomnia, right?
Right. I have insomnia. Or if this happens, if it's adequate conditions for sleep, we're going to talk about it becomes chronic.
Right. Now, if you're someplace where there's a lot of noise outside, then you can't say it's because of the that's the conditions. But if you have a quiet place and your bed is comfortable and the lights are off and everything is like it should be and you still can't sleep, then that's quite different.
Right. And if it lasts for more than 3 weeks, then, as we said, it becomes chronic. I think everybody has insomnia once in a while. You know, there's a lot going on or something, but...
Right.
Well, and this is interesting because often people use the word insomnia to mean they didn't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, oh, I had insomnia last night, meaning they didn't sleep well. But what this paragraph is pointing out is there's a difference between people with insomnia who are maybe in a dark room that is very quiet but still can't sleep. There's a difference between those people and people who are sleep deprived. And sleep deprived people then are people who can't sleep because they have set the conditions so that they can't sleep. They've done those things that we mentioned yesterday, being overworked, over-medicated, overed.
Too many overs.
Too many overs.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that it says that's caused by behavior or situational factors, whereas insomnia is not. So we talked about that's the over ones, the over-behavior, over-situation.
Well, when you can't get enough sleep, we call that sleep deprivation, and that's caused by behavioral or situational factors. So it could be because you live in a very noisy place or too many motorcycles going by. That would be a situational thing. You live someplace where you just can't get enough sleep. But behavioral has to do more with the things that are involved in your life, right?
Right. And that's what we really were talking about yesterday. You overdrink caffeine or something like that.
Right. They can curtail, or what does curtail mean here?
It means it cuts short or limits your ability to get the sleep you need. And the next term there, mitigate, has basically a similar meaning. It's just limiting your ability to get the sleep you need.
Okay. So most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. Now, how many hours do you think you get every night?
I would like to ask our listening audience how many hours they get a night. I try to get 7. Mm-hmm. At least 7.
What about
probably
you?
Need a little bit
I
more.
Try to get at least 2.5 every night.
Oh, I think at least, yes. But ordinarily speaking, how many do you get?
I think I probably get somewhere 6.5 or 7.
That's kind of like me.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like that. Right. Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, I need more. I mean, once in a while, I go to bed.
Sleep in.
Well, actually, sometimes I go to bed like at 9 o'clock because I'm so tired.
Well, I'll try not to call you after 9.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if my approach to this works, but I try to catch up on my sleep on the weekend.
Well, I do that, too.
But they say you can't catch up.
Well, it feels like
okay.
It.
Well, I feel pretty good.
I feel like I
can
learn.
But some other studies I've read have said you can't really catch up on it, so you really need to try to get the amount of sleep
but
you need.
But it's better than not catching up.
I think so.
Feels good, right.
I'm not going to stop sleeping more
sleeping
on
in.
The weekend.
We call that sleeping in, right. But you say that the amount a person needs is genetically determined. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, because I do have some friends who go to bed early and they say, I need 9 hours of sleep a night. I know myself. I need that amount of sleep. So like at 9:30 or 10, they go to bed, period.
I feel sorry for them. They're missing half. You know, that's a lot
so
of hours.
Now we know.
Yeah. But anyone who uses an alarm clock, you could say, is sleep deprived. Well, I use an alarm clock just to be sure that I get up. Doesn't mean that you won't wake up, but I don't want to keep waking up and say, is it time yet? Is it time yet? So the alarm clock makes me feel more secure that I will get up.
Isn't that interesting how we do that? Like when we just went on vacation, we had to get up at 4 in the morning to go climb this volcano. And really, like I was talking to my husband and both of us, like every hour we're waking up because we were so afraid we would miss that alarm clock.
I know. That's true. I mean, if you don't have an alarm clock, you kind of think, well, maybe, you know, it's 5 o'clock. Maybe I won't wake up. If you have an alarm clock, you can sort of relax. You might kind of wake up, but you kind of – the alarm clock is kind of a good aid, I think.
Me too, but I think it's really interesting that by definition, sleep-deprived is that you need an alarm clock. Do you wake up before your alarm? I usually wake up like 5 minutes before
sometimes
my alarm.
Too, yeah, but then I think, well, I can sleep a little longer. You don't exactly right that time. But the alarm clock makes you sure that you're going to do it, right?
Mm. Well, I thought it was interesting, though, because most people do use alarm clocks.
Yeah.
And even if they're waking up before the alarm, I guess just that we use alarm clocks kind of shows that we have stress coming from our sleep situation.
It shows that we don't want to be late to work.
We're worried that we will sleep too much.
Well, let's see what some of these other effects might be. Let's read the next section about effects.
Effects. With sleep deprivation, some glucose metabolism problems might predispose one to diabetes. And if so, a consequence could be heart disease and stroke. With insomnia, there is no evidence of long-term physical problems or links to other diseases. But insomnia results in poor quality of life and work absences and can lead to depression. There is some evidence that severe sleep apnea can lead to hypertension, heart problems, and a higher risk of strokes.
So this is the effects here. This section is quite interesting. It's talking about sleep deprivation compared with insomnia. Now, with sleep deprivation, some glucose metabolism problems might predispose one to diabetes. That's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? So,
it is.
Glucose metabolism, glucose just means sugar, and metabolism means your body is using it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are sleep deprived, this kind of problem results. And if this results, it predisposes you. That means it makes you more likely to have a situation or a problem, and this is diabetes.
So if you don't get enough sleep, it might be easy for you to get diabetes. That's a simple way to say it.
Right. That's exactly what it means. Predisposed means not necessarily, but it means,
it does mean that. Right.
Yeah, makes it easier for you.
And, of course, besides that, what else could happen?
Well, if you do get the diabetes, I'll be honest here. In Canada, we say diabetes.
I know, but this is American English.
I don't know if
diabetes.
I can say it the right way on the show here. I'll try one more time here. If you do get diabetes, did I get that right?
Anyway,
diabetes?
Carry on.
You might get heart disease or stroke, which are very serious issues, right?
And we'll say tang yao bing, which would be easier for diabetes.
Thank you.
Okay.
We can all do that.
Yes.
Good.
But anyway, with insomnia, there's no evidence of long-term physical problems or links to other diseases. Isn't that interesting?
That's what I found that the most interesting.
But what does insomnia do to you then?
Well, you just have a terrible life quality because you're half asleep all the time.
Late to work?
Mm-hmm. And depression.
Depression is more serious. Late to work, sometimes they deduct from your pay, and you might not get promoted or something. Who knows?
And even work absences.
But it seems that those problems probably come more out of the results of being tired all the time than actually being linked to the not sleeping.
Well,
that's true.
Right. But I thought it was very interesting that there's no evidence of this long-term physical problems like there is with sleep deprivation.
Well, I'd like to know if there's some solutions. Let's get to the solutions part, okay?
Well, we have another one, though, first.
Oh, yeah, we do have to talk about the last sentence there.
Yeah, we need to talk about the term sleep apnea. And that's just a medical condition where when people are sleeping, they stop breathing. And then it disrupts their sleep.
A lot of people have that.
Mm-hmm. I know several people that do.
How do they know if they're asleep and they stop breathing? I guess sometimes your husband or wife kind of knows it.
I've heard that, too. And sometimes people wake up and they're kind of choking because they can't breathe. My brother he uses a machine because he has this.
It says
severe sleep apnea, and it can lead to hypertension. And hypertension just means, you know, it means high blood pressure.
Okay. And heart problems and a higher risk of strokes. Is that interesting?
Probably because your body's not getting the oxygen it needs if you're not breathing correctly when you sleep. Wow. So these are three effects of this, you know, resulting from this whole problem. They're all kind of combined.
So how can we avoid these problems?
Let's get to those solutions. Okay.
Yeah.
Solutions. Improving sleep hygiene, avoiding late eating and drinking, keeping the room cool and dark, winding down before bedtime can improve or resolve transient or acute insomnia, but probably not chronic insomnia. For chronic insomnia, cognitive behavioral therapy is equally as or more effective than medications. Medication often is useful for acute insomnia. Naps can help, except when they don't. We discourage napping when anyone has problems falling or staying asleep at night, which might be an untreated sleep disorder, said Schmitz. We encourage power naps, 30 minutes or less, when folks can't stay awake or will have late-night events. See your doctor if you have had difficulty falling and staying asleep for more than a week, or if you snore, have frequent awakenings, and are reporting sleepiness during the day. Anyone with apnea symptoms should seek treatment.
Well, one of the solutions up there is talking in our magazine, you see about the sleep pill, and I think that's not a good solution. Do you?
No, they're talking about melatonin here, and this is a hormone. And usually it comes from the brain, and it's supposed to help your body sleeping cycle. A lot of people use this when they travel for jet lag, you know, but now they're saying you could use this to help you.
Hmm. I liked the beginning of this solutions section where it used the term sleep hygiene. And I thought that was very interesting because usually when we use this term hygiene, we're referring to keeping ourselves clean, you know, brushing our teeth, taking baths, combing our hair, things like that. But here, they're not talking about that at all.
No, talk about the room.
But they are talking about keeping your body, you know, if we're talking about hygiene, about keeping clean, they're talking about keeping your body in the condition so that it can go to sleep. So I think we can all take a look at, do we do this? Avoiding late eating and drinking. How many of you like eat snacks late at night?
I do.
Yes, that's a no for me. Okay. I don't avoid that.
But they're just suggesting this is what you could do, keeping the room cool and dark. And I've read another study that said that there is so much light now in our bedrooms. Even your digital alarm clocks, you know, the light there is very bad. It's right up by your face, you know, and the light affects your sleep.
Well, some people like to close the curtains. I like to leave them open so that when the sun comes up in the morning, it can help wake you up.
Well, there's so many street lights by where we live, we have to.
But also winding down is a very good idea. Don't think about problems. And so if some people read a novel, that'll help them. But other people just listen to music or, as I said, take a hot bath. Winding down is very important.
It is. Well, I have this one game I like to play on my iPad. And I've noticed I can't play it before I go to bed because I'm like, oh, I should have done that. I should have, you know.
Yeah. So you have to wind. How do you wind down?
I read.
Okay. But sometimes if you read something too exciting, it might not help you wind down.
Read something boring.
But some people watch something on TV and they go to sleep when they're watching TV. Right? Sometimes that's boring too.
Yeah.
Right. What do you do?
I read boring books.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. But if you wind down, it does help. It can improve this. And what does it actually do for you?
Well, it says it improves or resolves transient or acute insomnia, which is a very difficult set of words again. I guess it means it fixes the problem of having short-term insomnia.
Right. Transient means it comes and goes and doesn't stay with you all the time.
That's right. And acute means it's only sort of a temporary situation.
Right. What can you do for chronic insomnia?
Okay, well, that's in the second paragraph mm-hmm. here. But what we're talking about, this improving sleep hygiene will not help chronic right. insomnia. But no. it says, for chronic insomnia, cognitive behavior therapy is equally or more effective than medication. So let's talk about cognitive behavioral therapy. That is a mouthful. It's a treatment for people, often for people suffering from mental illnesses, and it tries to help you change the way that you think.
Well, now, what does cognitive actually have to do with?
Well, your cognitive has to do with your brain and the way it functions. So it's talking about you. Really, it's kind of behavior modification, changing your behavior, changing your brain's way of thinking.
But in particular, in this case, it's probably changing the way you think about things, like maybe
don't worry about
helping
things.
You not to worry about mm-hmm. things yeah. late at night.
Right.
Or,
right.
Yeah.
So don't worry about things like that. And I think that's one good thing about, I think, as Christian people, we often say we pray. And I say, well, God, I don't know what to do about this, but you do. So I'm going to go to sleep now and you help me solve it. And that
I
helps
do the
me
same
go
thing.
To sleep.
Yeah.
See, other people, they don't know about that idea. It doesn't help them. But, you know, there are things that help us like
right.
that. Right.
Right.
And naps can help you a little bit too. But medication is okay, but too much medication is not good.
Well, I love this sentence. Naps yeah. can help, except when they don't.
Right? Well, I yeah. thought a lot of people take naps. It used to be the custom a long time ago. Many people would take naps at noon. In fact, in Asia, a lot of people did. And they do in some places still.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
now in the busy world, hardly anybody says, I have to take a nap for noontime.
I remember when I first came to Asia, you know, mm-hmm. everybody had like an hour and a half to 2 hours for lunch
naps,
and then
yeah.
eat and put your head down and cover yourself with a newspaper and
sometimes
sleep.
Every now and then I see some employees trying to sneak a little nap in. But, but you know, it doesn't really help that much, it says. So I guess
well, if you have sleep problems, you should be very careful.
Uh-huh.
I like a Sunday afternoon nap. But I have to admit, it's starting.
That helps you for the whole week, I guess.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Well, they do encourage what they call power naps, 30 minutes or less. But some people take what we call a cat nap. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a cat nap?
I take
because
cat naps.
Because cats often will just go to sleep. And then you pet them, they run around, they go to sleep. Short naps, so they call those cat naps. That's a 10-minute nap. Put your head down for 10 minutes. They sometimes do that in school with kids. After, when they say, put your head down the table for a few minutes, don't they?
Right. Mm-hmm. On the bus and on the MRT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People take naps. Yeah.
But you should see your doctor if you have problems this way. And I guess a lot of people do. And well, even if you snore, right?
Right. Especially if it goes on for more than a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And if you snore, we're talking about what Simon was talking
sleep
about
apnea.
This, I think.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because it recommends going to see your doctor if you have any of these difficulties. And it's important to remember that in yesterday's reading, we mentioned the huge growth of the number of sleep centers and all of the research that's going on.
Well, we have a skit right now, but be sure and read this section about by the numbers and see how many hours you should sleep. That's on page 11 in the magazine. Now for our skit.
Jenny, are you okay? You don't seem to be yourself.
I'm so tired, Rob. I only slept for 4 hours last night.
4 hours? That's not good for your health. Why were you up so late?
Well, I stayed up really late to finish my homework. Then I checked my email and read some news online. When I finally tried to sleep, my friend sent me a text message and I just had to answer.
You know, not sleeping enough can really wreak havoc on your daily life.
I know. I fell asleep in class again this morning, and then my teacher assigned me extra homework. I'll never get to sleep tonight.
This sounds like that old chicken or egg saying. Who knows how this pattern started? Seriously, Jenny, you should listen to your biological clock.
My biological clock? What do you mean?
Sure. You need to sleep when your body tells you it's tired. Even though feeling tired seems benign and harmless, it really can have some bad effects on your life.
So, what should I do?
Well, first, you should curtail the things you do at night. Don't study too late. Don't surf the internet. And don't answer the phone after you turn out the light. Try not to eat unhealthy foods before you sleep.
That sounds easy. What if I do all that and I still can't sleep?
Well, hopefully your sleep problems are transient. But if they aren't, you could go see a good cognitive behavioral therapist. I hear they're helpful.
It's quite shocking, you know, if you look at the bottom on the right column on page 11, that a third of Americans suffer from this. We talked about that. But look at how many classifications. There are 84 classifications of sleep disorders and right. The number even of children. And when I think about this as American children, what about, you know, all over the world?
I think in Asia, kids probably don't get as much sleep as they should because you'll see little kids running around at 9 or 10 at night. In America, they put them to bed about 7 o'clock if they're small.
Yeah.
I did mine 7:30 when they were little and then right. 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising here how many hours these kids really do need. It says 14 to 15 hours of sleep a night is recommended for infants and 12 to 14 for toddlers, 10
yes.
to 11 hours for school-age kids.
I think everybody, if you are a parent, you need to highlight that and remember that. I mean, we really did this with our children.
Right.
And I mean, they grew up in Asia. But, you know, when you go to the night market and see a lot of little kids around, that's really not good.
Right. So read the article, think about it, practice it. And thanks for being with us. And we hope that it's been helpful and useful to you. And let us know your comments, too, so we can put them on our websites and put them on our Facebook, right?
That's right.
Teacher's page.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. So have a good sleep tonight, but have a good day today, too. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.